That is explained in this verse. And Narada Muni has only given 3 points. That's all. It's not a long list. Very short list. So we'll hear about them, okay? The Sanskrit of this verse is quite easy. So you can try repeating. I know the verse is not on the board. Dayaya Sarva Uteshu Santushtya Yena Kena Va Savarindyapa Shantya Cha Toshya Yashu Janardana. They're all Sanskrit pundits. They did a good job responding without the verse on the board. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushta yena kena va sarvarindyapa shantya cha tushadya shu janardana. Very good. Dayaya sarva bhuteshu santushta yena kena va savarindya pashantya cha tushadya shu janardana. Does anyone know this shloka by heart? Okay. Word meaning. Dayaya by showing mercy. Sarva bhuteshu to all living entities. Santoshtya by being satisfied. Yena kena va somehow or other. Sarva indriya all the senses. Upashantya by controlling. Cha also. Toshyati becomes satisfied. Ashu very soon. Janardana the Lord of all living entities. We have a Janardana here, but he is Janardana Das. This refers to the original Janardana. Translation. By showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana. Responsibly, by showing mercy to all living entities, being satisfied somehow or other, and controlling the senses from sense enjoyment, one can very quickly satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Janardana. Now the explanation to this verse by Srila Prabhupada. For Srila Prabhupada ki, these are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item mentioned here is Dayaya Sarva Bhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word Sarva Bhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings, but to all the living entities appearing in the 8,400,000 species of life. The devotee can do good, not only to humanity, but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna conscious movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions. Narayan Para Sarve, Narakurachana Bhavyati, Swaraga Pavarga Narakesha, Apitulyartha Darshana. It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog, although the Lord is in Vaikuntha. Even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki, powerful verse and purport, no? Om Jnanti Minandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Militanena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovestam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhavane Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamnam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lagunatan Vitam Tam Sajevan Sadvetam Savadhutam Prajana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Suti Devi Pranamami Haribhi Vancha kalpa tarvyasya kripa sindhu bhaya evacha paditanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivachari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna. So this verse that we chanted appeared in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam. It's text 21. And its sloka is the verse of 17. It's a very nice verse, and I encourage devotees all over the world to memorize this verse. So this verse is being spoken by the great sage Narada Muni. Narada Muni, as you know, is a Shakta Vaishavatar and incarnation. There are different categories of avatars: Purushavatar, Leelavatar, Gunavatar, Manvantaravatar, Yogavatar, and Shakta Vaishavatar. The word avatar has become very popular now, thanks to the Hollywood producer who made a movie called Avatar by spending $250 million. I believe that there's nothing in that movie that was connected to Krishna or the Vedic message. But some or the other, he got inspired to give the name Avatar. I never saw the movie, so I don't know why. But anyway, Avatar means one who descends. So Narada Muni, the major business is to deliver the message of the Lord, whether it's Mrigari the hunter or an elevated sage like Dhruva Maharaj. So over here, Now the Muni is instructing the Prachetas. The Prachetas were the sons of King Prajna Parishad, who had performed austerities, received instructions from Lord Shiva and the Lord. Then they entered family life. And again, they felt they needed to get more serious about spiritual life. And they were practicing controlling the mind and senses, pranayama. But now the Muni walked in. So when now the Muni walked in, they all offered respect to the Prachetas. One unique quality of the Prachetas was that all of them were fixed on the devotional path. They were brothers. And when the Lord appeared to benedict them, he said, I'm very pleased by you, all of you, because you brothers have mainly one occupation. That's devotional service. So similarly in ISKCON, we have devotees engaged in different ashrams. Some may be brahmachari, some may be kriyastha, some may be vanaprastha, some may be sannyas. Someone may be in a male body, someone may be in a female body. Someone may be a business tycoon, someone may be a student, someone may be a housewife. But we should all have one occupation. And what's that? Devotional service. So we all have one occupation, devotional service. If we all have Krishna in the focal point, then there'll be peace and there'll be success and happiness. So Narada Muni appeared on the scene and the Prachetas offered respects. And then the Prachetas requested Narada Muni for guidance. This is one pattern we see in the Bhagavatam, that whenever a great sage comes, they seek guidance. Even when the Kumaras came to the palace of King Prithu, he begged them for guidance. So the Prachetas are requesting Narada Muni, please guide us. They said that you're like the sun. Just like when the sun appears or the rays of the sun appear, the fear that's there in the night goes away as they see the sun rays. Walking in the night, everyone feels great fear, isn't it? May not be in San Jose, but in New York certainly, if you're walking in the streets of New York. But as the sun comes out, your fear goes down. So the Prachetas are making the point that similarly, in the association of an advanced personality like Narada Muni, the fear goes away and they seek guidance. So they requested Narada Muni for spiritual guidance. And so Narada Muni, in this chapter, gives the Prachetas guidance. And many of the important verses that we quote in our classes are based in this chapter. So in this verse specifically, Narada Muni is emphasizing three important points. As I told you earlier, the list to please the Lord is very short. It's not like a 20-point list or a 15-point list. Only 3 points. What are they? Who remembers? Dayaya. Being merciful. All living. Then santosha. Be satisfied. And control the senses. Is it difficult? Difficult? Just 3 points. If the list was like 20 points or something, we would get scared. So just 3 points. So the first is dayaya. And Prabhupada dedicates almost the entire purport to this first point of dayaya. Prabhupada, when he would write the purports, he would have in front of him the purports of the previous acharyas. Someone can take the lamp around. The purpose of the previous acharyas, he would take the essence from the teaching of the acharyas and add on what was relevant for today's environment. So Prabhupada opens his purport by saying, these are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item mentioned is dayaya, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. So, one can show mercy in several ways, isn't it? For example, in many countries like India, the common understanding is, if we want to show mercy, do something for the poor people, build a hospital, a school, and so on. But as we understand, true mercy is to give people knowledge. Knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Knowledge about the importance of devotional service. We see that in the scriptures, again and again, this point comes up. The importance of preaching the glories of the Lord. In the 18th chapter of the Gita, Krishna summarizes the Gita in the 18th chapter. And in the concluding verses, Krishna says, of all devotees, who is dearmost to me? The one who always preaches my glories. There will never be one more dear than him, than one who preaches my glories. Why does Krishna talk again and again about the importance of preaching? Because this is a very important service. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there are so many wonderful stories that emphasize the importance of preaching. Vasudeva Datta was a great devotee, and he once went to Lord Chaitanya and said, I have one request to make. The Lord said, make the request. Please may you liberate all the conditioned souls and let me suffer the reactions due to them. See how compassionate. You read this, another story of a devotee called Vasudeva Vipra. Vasudeva Vipra was suffering from leprosy. And he was so compassionate. His whole body was full of worms. And whenever any worm would fall off his body, he would lift it and put it back on his body. I mean, can you imagine how compassionate? So he went to see Lord Chaitanya, who at that time was residing in the house of the devotee Kurma. But when he reached Kurma's house, he discovered that the Lord had already departed. And the Lord, being super soul, Antaryami, knew that his beloved devotee, Vasudeva Vipra, is heartbroken because he cannot see him. So the Lord came back. And then he embraced him. And when he embraced him, all his disease disappeared instantly. This Vasudeva Vipra was suffering from pus and his boils in his body. He got transformed to a youthful, handsome young man. And then he recited the verses which the Sudama Brahmin had recited in the 10th canto when Sudama came home. Sudama, the Lord's childhood friend, had gone to see the Lord in Dwarka. And he left the palace without asking anything. But the Lord knew what was on his mind. And he transformed his simple residence to an opulent palace. So Sudama Brahman recognized this was due to the help and mercy of his compassionate friend. So he composed very wonderful verses glorifying the Supreme Lord. The Bhagavatam is nothing but a prayer book in which different devotees are composing and offering very wonderful prayers glorifying the Supreme Lord. So Vasudeva Vipra recited those verses and then he asked the Lord. He said, previously I was so contaminated that no one would even come near me. But by your mercy, I have become, got transformed to a handsome young man. I may not become proud. How can I remain humble? So Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna and preach the glories of Hare Krishna. Read the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, and preach the glories of Bhagavatam and Gita. So Prabhupada, in the purport of this pastime, explains that just like Vasudeva Vipra got transformed, similarly, the devotees of this Krishna conscious movement all over the world have also got saved and transformed. So it is their duty also, what? To preach the glories of the holy name and the Gita and the Bhagavatam. So as you know, there are innumerable references. Prahlad Maharaj's prayers are also wonderful, where Prahlad says that, "My dear Lord, I have no fear for myself, but I'm worried about those who are trying to convert a position of distress to a position of comfort." This is what technology is trying to do. The true life is full of distress. True, false. Dukhalayam, and it's temporary. But this modern society, the materialists, they don't want to admit that. The material life is full of distress. Even now they can see there's so much distress all around us. We can see how natural disasters are increasing. I was just reading the other day that even in the United States, in the last 5 years or 3 years, I forget, the natural disasters like earthquakes have increased 5 times in the United States, where you have the best technology in the world. You have technology virtually to detect anything, isn't it? You have technology to detect the conversation of leaders in Europe. You have technology to detect what everyone is speaking. But they can't stop natural disasters, isn't it? And this phenomena is true not only here, but virtually all over the world. Natural disasters are rapidly increasing. But still, they won't admit that. You know, they'll try and make you believe that they can control natural disasters. Like in India, there's a company that makes steel, you know, steel that goes into buildings. So they promote their steel as earthquake resistant. So they make you believe if you use this steel in your building, your building won't be affected by earthquake. There's no such thing as earthquake resistant. But, you know, that's what they're want to make people believe. So, but the reality is, there's nothing but distress. So, devotees know the material world is not a place of happiness or enjoyment. Therefore, they preach. And Prabhupada gave us many wonderful activities for preaching, many wonderful avenues for preaching. And the best of these avenues is this avenue of book distribution. Prabhupada encouraged us to distribute these books. And as I said, when I came in, that your temple is appreciated very much for being dedicated to book distribution, especially due to the inspiration that you all get all the time from Vaisheshika Prabhu. I was recently in Atlanta, and I met one of the brahmacharis there. So I asked him, how did he become a devotee? So he told me that he was originally from California, and he was a little frustrated, so anyway, he headed towards the east. And he had gone in a protest on some issue, and he was returning in someone's car, who wasn't even like his dear friend. And in the back seat of the car, there was a Bhagavad Gita as it is. So this Bhagavad Gita was purchased by the owner of the car months ago. And why did he buy it? He was very he was very impressed by the simple monk who came to distribute the Gita. But this person wasn't interested. He bought the book because he liked the simple monk who came and preached to him. And he took care of that book in his back seat for weeks and weeks. So this devotee got into the car, sat down, and there he saw Bhagavad Gita on the back seat. So he took the Bhagavad Gita and started reading it. And then he discovered that there's a temple in town. Then he started coming to the temple, and now he's become a full-time devotee. And how did it... And how did the journey start? The journey home started by getting a book of Prabhupada. That wasn't even purchased by him. It was purchased by one of his friends, not even his friend. He just got a lift in that car. And he just put his hand on the back seat and there he saw Bhagavad Gita. And the friend said, take it. I'm not. He asked him if he could borrow this Gita. And the friend said, no, take it. I've had it for weeks and I haven't read it. He didn't even open it. So there are countless stories of this type. We have a devotee in Canada. He was an officer in the Navy. And for some reason he had to leave the Navy. He got hit in an accident. So he was a little depressed. I'm so young and I had to leave the Navy. So he walked into a library in Ottawa. And there he saw Bhagavad Gita as it is in the French language. He started reading it, going every day to read it. And slowly he got attracted to the philosophy and he took to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada encouraged us to do book distribution. As we know, Prabhupada labored hard to translate these books. Why? Only for one reason. Because he wanted to save humanity. That is the nature of a true Vaishnava. The sages in Namasharanya, thousands of years ago, 5,000 years ago, were holding an assembly discussion, and they were discussing what would be the symptoms of Kali Yuga. They had spiritual vision. So like you go to an astrologer, they had the ability to predict what the symptoms would be. And what was their concern? How will people in Kali Yuga be saved? So that is the mood of a Vaishnava, para dukha dukhi. Seeing others in distress, he also gets distressed. And therefore, he endeavors to preach. Of course, preaching is not so easy. Let's face it. It's easier when you have to do some service in the temple, say, sweeping the floor, cooking, and all that. No doubt it's all important, but the challenges are not as intense as when you go out in the open field, go from individual to individual, requesting him to please take a book. It's not that everybody you approach is going to say, yeah, I was just waiting for you to come from here. Like, in India, in the liquor shops, in the evening, you see a big rush. If you pass by a liquor shop in India, in the evening hours, you see a lot of people going there to buy liquor. So it's not that you put up a book table in the mall or you, wherever, whatever plan you're using, people are going to crowd around and gate crash. Come on, give me a book. we would all love to be in a position where you put up a table and people are lining up and you have to control the line. Come on, behave yourselves. It's never going to be like that. Or maybe it will be one day like that. So when you go to preach, naturally, you have to struggle. Be ready for insults. Be ready for criticism. Lord Chaitanya, when he started his Sankirtan movement, he sent his close associates to go and preach house to house. And one of the teams that he made was a team consisting of Nityananda and Haridas Sagar. Can you imagine how powerful the team it must have been? Nityananda and Haridas Thakur together. You would expect that everyone they approached would have jumped up in ecstasy. So when Nityananda and Haridas Thakur were going house to house, some houses where they went, people received them very warmly. They said, our great fortune. These two sages have come to purify us. But some houses they went to, they won't even open the door. So it's not like modern day America. They won't even open the door. They would say, when we came to take part in your kirtan and Shiva Sangam, you didn't let us come in. So now, we won't let you come in. And some places they would go, they would say, look at this crazy people. They've gotten influenced by this Nimai. And, you know, they would just make fun of them, but they would just tolerate it. Some houses they would say, oh, these are spies in the form of sadhus. They have come to see what's in our house, and then they'll come and rob. So this was a treatment given to Haridas and Nityananda. But they did not get discouraged. And we all know how Nityananda saved Jagai and Madai. Srila Prabhupada also, before he came to the West, he would personally go out to do book distribution. Prabhupada, before he came to the West, it was virtually a one-man army. Prabhupada residing in the Radha Damodara temple would stay up with his old typewriter typing his books. Then he would take a tanga or a rickshaw, go to Mathura. I'm sure all of you, when you go to Vrindavan now, even when you land in Delhi, you just take a cab and go to Vrindavan, am I right? I think very few of you must be taking buses or something. But Prabhupada would take a cycle rickshaw or a carriage drawn by horses, go to Mathura and travel to Delhi in a third-class compartment. And then he would go and buy paper from the paper market, go and supervise the printing. Before that, he would supervise the composing. That's why, if you read the first canto that was published by Prabhupada when he was in India, before he came to the West, you'll find a lot of grammatical mistakes in it, punctuation mistakes in it, because Prabhupada was a one-man army. But that's not important. The important thing is the message. And then he would also have to go and solicit funds to finance the printing. And after the books were printed, then Prabhupada would go out himself to the libraries and in the hot sun to distribute these books. So it was a one-man army, right from translation to book distribution and fund collection. So today, then as Prabhupada launched the ISKCON movement, Krishna sent in more and more facilities and more devotees started assisting him. So Prabhupada labored hard to translate these books only because he had a firm conviction that if the message of Godhead is presented in its pure form, then people will take to Krishna consciousness. And one reason why the ISKCON congregation is expanding all over the world, including India, is these books. People are reading these books and these books convince them of the importance of spiritual life. Prabhupada said, my books are quality inside and quality outside. The inside, the substance is first class, and the presentation is first class. And Prabhupada says, these books are distributed because of the enthusiasm of my disciples. So, true compassion means giving people knowledge of God. Compassion these days has become a very fashionable word. And about 2 or 3 weeks ago was a compassionate day, you know. So, what is true compassion? True compassion doesn't mean you just artificially use the word compassion and kill God's children. True compassion is showing respect to all living entities and recognizing all living entities are created by the Lord, hence they all have a right to live. So that is true compassion. And the best form of compassion is giving people knowledge about God. And as Prabhupada says in the purport, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is so auspicious that when you chant, even the insects, the trees, they all benefit by hearing the holy name. So when a devotees go out on a Hare Nam, when you do a Hare Nam, their Hare Nam liberates or gives benefit to everyone who hears the holy name. So the best form of devotional, the best form of service one can do is preaching. Then in this verse it says, be satisfied with whatever is provided by the agency of the Lord, Santushta, and control the mind and senses. So in material life, as you know, no one is ever satisfied. Is anyone ever satisfied? You see the billionaires and billionaires making a statement, we've heard enough now, we're not going to expand anymore. Did they say that? No. What you see all over the world is the rich getting richer. All over the world, the rich are getting richer. This, why? Because they have the means and they feel that they don't have enough. No one is ever satisfied. So in material life, no one is ever satisfied. In the Bhagavatam, you read the story of Vamandev. Vamandev came into the sacrificial arena of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj received him very warmly and he asked him, can I do some service to you? Vamandev said, yes, if you want to give me enough land where I can keep 3 footsteps. And Bali Maharaj said, you don't look very intelligent. When you come to a big man, ask for something more. I can give you a whole planet. What are 3 footsteps? So Vamandev said, a man who can't control his mind and senses, even if you're given the wealth of the whole world, he will not be satisfied. And one who can control his mind and senses will be satisfied in any condition. So, Narada Muni has given 3 important points in this verse. If you want to please the Supreme Lord. One is, show mercy to all living entities. And the best form of showing mercy is constant chanting of the holy names of Krishna and preaching the transcendental knowledge of the Lord so people can benefit. Then he says, be satisfied with whatever is provided by the will of the Lord. Santushta, yenakenama. Santushta means being satisfied. So a devotee, he's satisfied in any condition. So Lavaman, they've told the law of King Bali Maharaj that if you can't control your mind and senses, then you won't be satisfied even with the wealth of the whole world. So if you want to be really satisfied, then take to the chanting of the holy names, take to the process of the devotional service. Prabhupada often used to give the example of the Goswamis of Vrindavan. Rupa Goswami, when he was serving the Mohammedan ruler, he and his brother were virtually running the kingdom, which at that time was the richest kingdom of the world. The richest country in the world 500 years ago was not America. There was no America, was there? It was India. And the richest part of India was the kingdom of Bengal. And that kingdom of Bengal was virtually being run by these two brothers. And when Rupa Goswami renounced his governmental position, he had so many gold coins that a whole boat was full of these gold coins. It's not like today's economy where you just go on printing notes to finance the deficit. I mean, they had gold coins to genuine gold coin. So Rupa Goswami distributed this wealth in a very exemplary manner. He gave 50% to the Brahmanas, 25% to his relatives, and 25% he kept for future emergencies, which were later on used to free Sanatan from the prison. But when he went to Vrindavan, he lived like doing madhukari. Yeah, here was someone who was virtually running a kingdom, was virtually living like a king, but when he came to Vrindavan, he was totally satisfied. He was engaged in devotional service. Prabhupada used to give the example of a lawyer who was helping Mahatma Gandhi during India's freedom struggle. During when India was struggling for independence from England, the movement was led by Mahatma Gandhi, and many rich people used to support him. One of them was a rich lawyer. So one day Gandhi told him, I've got your money, but now I want you to do it. You to come and join my movement. So he came and joined the movement, but it was too austere for him. And he was too used to a life of comfort. And then, in 1 month, he had a heart attack and he died. So Prabhupada said, but on the other hand, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, they renounced all the comforts. They lived a simple life of mendicant. And they were totally satisfied. Raghunath Das Goswami was his son, one of the richest men of that time. But he renounced everything, and when he came to Vrindavan, he was totally satisfied. So a devotee remains satisfied in every condition. Even in an adverse condition, a devotee doesn't get disturbed. Normally, when we have to face difficulties, we get disturbed, isn't it? We say, why did God do this to me? People have a concept that if I come to the Krishna conscious movement, devotees ask me, why did Krishna do this to me? What wrong have I done? Devotees think that now I've become a devotee, I've got initiated, so everything I touch should turn into gold. like Sanatana Goswami in the touchstone. So everything, there should be no discomfort, no depression, I should get everything I want. No. Devotee is one, he remains satisfied in every condition. Sometimes you may be in a position of comfort. Sometimes you may be in a difficult situation. Rather, when a devotee is in a difficult situation, he uses that to further increase his dependence on the Lord. In this connection, we have that beautiful prayer by Queen Kunti that you read about in the first canto, Vipadu Santutaha Sashwat. Queen Kunti prays, my dear Lord, please increase my calamities. Now, does anyone ever pray, please increase my calamities? All that I've heard is people say, God, give us our daily bread. God, this discomfort may go away. Just like you go to a supermarket with a shopping list. We go to God almost daily with our shopping list. Wish list. May this happen, may this happen. But nobody certainly goes and prays, please may the calamities may increase, isn't it? But Queen Kunti does. She said, my dear Lord, please may my calamities increase. Because the more they increase, the more I meditate at the lotus feet. And the more I meditate at the lotus feet, the faster I will get freedom from birth and death. So a devotee uses a difficult opportunity to increase his dependence on the Lord. Even when devotees go out to preach, for example, but preaching is a tough challenge. It's not an easy task. So it helps the devotee. When the devotee increases his dependence on the Lord, and what do the good Sankirtan devotees do? Make sure they have good sadhana. Make sure they chant their rounds properly. Make sure they read, etc. So that gives them the spiritual strength to face the material energy to preach and distribute these books. So that's why you hear a famous quote, purity is a force. The quote is attributed to Prabhupada, but we haven't been able to quite trace when Prabhupada said that. But we know that purity is a force. That Prabhupada said on many occasions. So, and the purity comes by the execution of devotional service. So now the Muni is saying, be satisfied in all conditions. Sometimes you may devotees are always grumbling, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. They can't see anything good, they can only see everything bad. So, and usually, their fault finds so much that in the end, their own spiritual life gets ruined. So therefore, Prabhupada advised us to look at the good in every Vaishnava. By looking at the good in every Vaishnava and encouraging everyone to execute devotional service, one can create a better atmosphere and a more harmonious atmosphere where everyone can advance spiritually. Then, Narada Muni here says, what is the third point that Narada Muni talks about in this verse? Control the mind and the senses. So is that important or not important? There's so many so-called spiritualists. They will come and give you a big talk, but not talk about controlling the mind and senses. Right? Prabhupada, when he came to the West for a year, he had to struggle in New York, Bowery, etc. So, on one occasion, these swamis got together and they began to give Prabhupada advice. Swamiji, you should not wear dhoti kurta, dress up like us, and learn to eat with fork and knife. And don't talk about these four principles and so on. But Prabhupada wasn't interested in attracting a cheap philosophy, cheap followers. Prabhupada was interested in presenting the real truth. He did not compromise. So we need to control the mind and senses. The mind and senses are always agitating. In the third chapter of the Gita, Krishna was questioned, how is one compelled into sinful acts unwillingly? And what did the Lord reply? Kama is a krodha. It is lust only, the all-devouring enemy of the living entity, that is always burning like fire, never satiated. And where is this enemy to be found? Where? Mind, dozens and senses. The Lord is so kind, He not only identifies the enemy, He also tells you where the enemy is located. But then Krishna goes on to say, with the sword of knowledge, curb this enemy. In other words, with transcendental knowledge, lust, anger, greed, etc. can be controlled. Lust, anger and greed have been described in Gita to be three highways leading to hell. So, how do we control our mind and senses? We control our mind and senses by the execution of devotional service. By executing pure devotional service, which is the theme of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is the theme of the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavad Gita clearly concludes, after discussing different types of yoga, that bhakti yoga is a medium through which you can attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, by executing this process of devotional service, you can control the mind and senses. Once someone in India asked Prabhupada if he could do any magic. Prabhupada said, "No, I can't do any magic. But what magic I've done?" So the man was really curious, what magic had he done? He said, "I've converted thousands of mlechas into brahmanas." So mlechas are all over the world. Those are addicted to sense enjoyment. And brahmanas are those who have the brahmanical qualities and are leading a purified life. How did all this happen? By the power of devotional service, which begins with the process of chanting and hearing. So, chanting and hearing of the holy name is a key to spiritual advancement, shravanam and kirtanam. If we very attentively chant our rounds, then that will result in cheta darpan marjanam. We have the means and the end. The end goal is to develop love of God. But how to get to that stage, how to get to the end, we have to adopt the proper means. And the proper means is good sadhana and attentive chanting of the holy names of the Lord. At least when we sit down to do our japa, we should try not to do any other errand or job besides just chanting. Just like when you eat prasad, do you like being interrupted? Is there a feast tonight after that? Okay, anyway, especially if you're eating prasad out on a fast day. Let's say Janmashtami is coming soon. So Janmashtami, all of you will be fasting. So let's say you're eating in the night after fasting all day. And somebody comes in to interrupt you. Will you like it? No. I know in the early days of our movement, we had a leader who was very fond of prasad. So he would put a sign in front of his door. I'm in samadhi now. So the point is, eating prasad is, for many devotees, samadhi. So but our mood should be, the same mood should be when you sit down to do your japa. When I sit down to do my japa, that's real samadhi. I want to do my japa without any interruption, distraction. And what's one of the biggest distractions these days? Right, cellular telephones. Studies have shown that people sleep with their cellular telephones. And when they get up in the morning, before they wish their family members a good morning, they want to see, what messages do I have? You want to see how many people remembered them. So, my God. So what is needed is attentive chanting of the holy name. And if our sadhana is good, if your chanting is good, your reading of Prabhupada's books is regular. Prabhupada wanted these books not only to be distributed, but also read. Prabhupada said that on numerous occasions, that these books are not just for distribution, but they should also be read. And Prabhupada also said, when Krishna sees that we are reading these books, he's very pleased. Krishna sees, here is someone trying to understand me, so let me give him the understanding by which he can come to me. So if we use the means, the weapons that Prabhupada has given us. Prabhupada has given us all the weapons we need to fight Maya. We have this wonderful ISKCON society that today has branches virtually in every corner of the globe, isn't it? And Prabhupada gave us these wonderful centers in Mayapur, Vrindavan, the Kartik festival, the Gaur Purnima festival, where we have the opportunity to get so much association of senior devotees, equal devotees, less advanced devotees. Sadhu Sangha is a must if you want to make spiritual advancement. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya. Lama Mata, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastakaya. Then, Prabhupada gave us these wonderful books, instructions, wonderful, beautiful deities. And now, thanks to internet, even though you're living in a Silicon Valley area, you can have darshan of Radha Madhav, Panchatattva, Krishna Balaram, almost every day, isn't it? I know devotees who have darshan of 8-10 temples every day. So, Prabhupada gave us these wonderful deities. So, Prabhupada created, he established in a short time such a powerful institution. And if we take advantage of everything that Prabhupada gave us, then you can definitely succeed on the spiritual path. It's guaranteed. Just like Krishna says, Sarva Dharma Paritaja Mamekam Shanam Raja. Hamtram sarva pape vimoksha vimasaja. He says, give up all material of religious and surrender me, and I will protect you. Krishna says, think of me, bow down to me, become my devotee, offer your homage to me, and you will come to me without fail. 100% guaranteed. Is there anyone in the material world who can offer you 100% success? You go for surgery. You can go to the best doctor in town, the best doctor in the world. Will he guarantee your operation will succeed 100%? Any doctors in the audience? But, in fact, he'll take a letter from you. That if something happens to you, don't blame him. But Krishna guarantees, if you surrender to him, you can come back to him without fail. So we have this wonderful opportunity to perfect our lives. We should take advantage of this opportunity. So, in the verse that we read, Narada Muni is highlighting only 3 points. In Russian it says, tolka, only 3 points. What are the 3 points? Preach, be merciful, be satisfied, and control your mind and senses. Is it difficult to control the mind and senses? Difficult or easy? I heard in San Jose, Vaishnava Prabhu is trained you up. It's very easy. Difficult or easy? Easy, she said. Yes. If you employ the means, then it will become easy. If you don't employ the means, then it will become difficult. Just like Krishna says, Devriyesha Guru Maya Mama Maya Dharataya. He says to overcome this illusory energy, it's very difficult. But then Krishna goes on to say, but if you surrender to me, then you're going to overcome. So, we come to this Krishna conscious movement, eventually surrender to the Lord. And Krishna says, all of them as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. It's not that you pay the same premium and everyone gets the same coverage. You get your coverage based on the premium you pay, isn't it? You get a vehicle in the market. It's not that $4,000 there, you can buy any vehicle from any show. You get what you pay for. So, the same principle holds true spiritually. So, in the association of devotees, especially in the association of good devotees, we can advance if we listen to their instructions. So, if we chant around the tenderly read and associate with devotees, then definitely you can get the ability to develop these 3 points that are mentioned in this verse. Hare Krishna. Okay. Well, I was just worried if I wasn't going too late, you know, the clock is 10 to 9. So, any questions?
I have a question, Maharaj. Yeah. Earlier you had mentioned that billionaires are not satisfied. They're always looking to expand. And it seems as if Prabhupada is saying in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that our only business is to expand the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. And I see preachers who have had huge success building temples and expanding, but they're not satisfied either. So what's the difference between these billionaires, you're saying satisfaction, but what is that?
I understand. There is spiritual greed and material greed. Spiritual greed is okay. You want everyone in San Jose to get a book of Krishna. You want everyone in America to become Krishna conscious. That's okay. Material greed is bad. Spiritual greed is not bad. Material anger is bad. Spiritual anger is not bad. Lord Chaitanya got angry when he saw that Nityananda was attacked. So, material greed is destructive. Spiritual greed is constructive. So we can be spiritually greedy. We shouldn't distribute one book and feel, I've done my quota for the day. You know, our mentality should be, we saved one person, and let's go and save the next person. Let's go and save the next person. Let's go and save. Let's go and go on preaching till there's no one left bereft of Krishna consciousness.
I have one more question. Earlier you had mentioned that we had said something about surpassing New Delhi in book distribution, and then you said you encouraged that. You thought it was a good idea. So I wonder if you give us a few tips about how to surpass New Delhi. What, if you were to step into this situation and make that happen, which I'm sure it would if you did, would you tell us to do to improve and to surpass?
I think having a powerful general like you, you don't need any outside tips. I would be too embarrassed to offer any tips in the presence of Vaishyashaka Prabhu.
I think you're holding back, Maharaj.
No, I think you all are doing nicely. You all are being enthusiastic, try your best. I think you all are also approaching motels and business houses. But India has a certain advantage, to be very honest. And so some temples are exploiting that advantage and some are not. If you had, so I'm sure all of you are also trying, and most of you, I think when you started this program, you called it Weekend Warriors. So that's an appropriate title because most of you can only go out on weekends and in the evening. But in the marathons that we have in India, many of our householders take time off from their work and come in full time. But this may not be possible everywhere, you know. And it's, so I think, but there's always room for improvement. And enthusiasm is a key. I think I told you this story earlier. And once I had arranged a display of Prabhupada's books at a downtown bookstore in Bombay. And after 1 month, not as many books were sold as we thought. Because we had a book display in the windows, we had book racks, everything. So this was sometime in 76, I believe. So I went to Prabhupada and I told him that in spite of this heavy promotion, we didn't sell as many books as we thought we would. Sri Prabhupada replied by saying, he said, my books are sold because of the enthusiasm of my disciples. And in a bookstore, naturally the salesmen are not so enthusiastic. So enthusiasm is a must. Even the story that I told you about a brahmachari who found a book in the back seat of the car, his friend bought that book from a monk because he was very impressed by that monk's purity and enthusiasm. So he didn't have any interest in the Bhagavad Gita, but he still bought it. So, when we are enthusiastic and pure, at least we try our best, Krishna helps. And Krishna is pleased by our effort. Sometimes you may have a Sankirtan devotee who sincerely goes out for long hours, and he may not get the desired results. But it doesn't matter. If you have sincerely made an effort, Krishna will be pleased. Yeah? Any other questions? Yes. Am I going too late or can I go on for 5 minutes? It's okay?
5 minutes of
drama. No. I felt bad that I came so late, yeah.
So Maharaj, when you said about the glories and the benefits of book distribution, we really feel inspired. But what happens is when time goes and the real action comes, and with all the anxieties that we have with the kids and the work and everything, carrying this anxiety means there are devotees who carry those anxieties within their heart to distribute books. But to carry that anxiety to distribute a certain number of books along with the devotees, it really feels so much overwhelming with other things that are also going on. So how do we really become truly enthusiastic, Maharaj, in doing this service?
So in other words, from what I can pick up from your question is, you have spiritual anxiety that if I don't distribute so many books, I'm not doing my job or something. Am I right?
Not spiritual anxiety, Maharaj, like with the family.
I know.
So many anxieties.
But this is spiritual anxiety. When you are worried about not distributing enough books, not preaching enough, desires to preach more, that is spiritual anxiety. Taking care of children, etc., is also spiritual if you're trying to make your children devotees, and if you all are also devotees, then your whole life is dedicated to spirituality. So, it's better to have anxiety than not having anxiety. Because anxiety, spiritual anxiety, the more anxiety you have, the more you'll think of Krishna. If things are too comfortable, too cozy, too easy, then you forget Krishna. That's why you see people who are very rich, they don't turn to God. People who are very educated, very handsome, who get adored by people, they don't turn to God so easily. All over the world, you see this phenomena. And in places where the rich do turn to God, it's a very token surrender. They don't really dedicate their lives. There are very few devotees like Amrish, like Alfred Ford, who was born with a silver spoon and has given so much to the movement and lead a simple life. Very few. So I often tell devotees, little distress, little suffering is good. Because if you don't have any suffering, no distress, then you'll easily forget Krishna. You know, sometimes devotees fall sick and they get worried. Yeah? Any more questions? Yes.
Thank you very much, Maharaj, for wonderful 3 points giving to pleasing Krishna. And you also told how to please Krishna. So one of the points you told about association. But we practically found in this Kali Yuga, especially like when we come devotee association, like it becomes so difficult, that cooperation. And so can you please give from your experience that how to cooperate and go ahead with this?
Well, one thing in Kali Yuga, our egos are very strong. Is that true in America also? Okay. Yeah. Our egos are very strong, to be honest. Our bodily weight may be 60 kilos, but our ego weighs 120 kilos. Yeah. So because of our ego being so strong, we don't like getting advice. We don't like being told. So we need to develop humility. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Sinadapi sunichena tarorapi sajna manina manalena ketanadi sarari. If you want to be in a position where you can always chant the holy names, then of God. So see the good qualities in all the Vaishnavas. Be willing to take direction. That is what surrender means, being willing to take direction. be willing to be corrected. Humility doesn't mean just speaking softly and saying Prabhuji, Prabhuji and bowing down. You know, sometimes we judge humility by seeing how softly and sweetly a person talks. Sweet talking is necessary. But genuine humility in the heart means, I am ready to be corrected. I am ready to be directed. I am ready to be guided. And, you know, unless we have that mood, then... I mentioned in the class earlier, the Lord was very pleased by the purchasers, because He said, all your brothers have only one business, devotional service. So similarly, all of us may be in different varnas and ashram, but we should have only one business, devotional service. Look at the good points in everyone. Look at the good in everyone. We generally tend to look at the faults in everyone, am I right? Because we like to believe, or we like to show how good I am, how bad he is. But look at the good in everyone. And offer respects to everyone. Not that we offer respects only to the Guru or a sannyasi. We offer respects to all the Vaishnavas. In the early days of our movement, we would address each other by saying, using the word Prabhu. Prabhu means? Well, these days, the word Prabhu has gone out of fashion. Do you hear anyone? We should address each other as Prabhu, which means Master. So that means I'm ready to serve. Did I answer your question?
Thank you.
A long, roundabout answer. Any other questions? Okay, last question.
Yeah. Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the wonderful lecture. I had a question about the question that you answered right now. You said that spiritual anxiety is good and we should always be anxious to do more, and we should be anxious if we are completing our duty or not. But how do we find the balance between knowing if, you know, the goals that I'm setting in spirituality is...
Realistic.
And if it's not just false ego, that I want to achieve this, I want to achieve that. How do you find the balance between that?
Well, you can, when you're in doubt, or when you want to establish, make sure you're on the right track, take the help of sadhus. In ISKCON there are so many senior devotees. You have your temple leaders here. You can consult them and say, this is the goal I'm establishing. Do you think it's reasonable or unreasonable? And we should be realistic. Sometimes someone will say, someone may want to go on a very strict diet and this and that. But then they go on a strict diet and then they end up sleeping more. So be realistic and bounce it off those who are senior to see if that's correct or not. So I think I'll stop here. I want to thank you devotees for giving it was a privilege coming to this center, and it's nice to see that the center has developed rapidly. I was asking Vaishnava Shekhar Prabhu how much mortgage is left on this temple. And he gave me a figure. I don't know why you say that in public. But I'm sure if all the devotees try, the mortgage can also be liquidated very fast. When you make your houses, you get them financed. And one of the first things that's on your mind is, I want to pay off this house as soon as I can. Isn't it? So our goal of the congregation is to be, we want to pay off the temple mortgage as soon as we can. And I'm sure if everyone unites, everyone is possible. So it's nice. We have a nice center. I'm sure gradually the preaching will expand. I understand that this is a Spanish neighborhood, by and large.
Yeah, a lot of Spanish-speaking people in this area.
You have a lot of Spanish.
It's a mix. It's a real mix.
Mix.
Yeah, we're looking into having classes in Spanish also.
I always found Spanish people are a little softer than English people.
Definitely.
When I used to live in the Brooklyn Temple, we used to go on book distribution. I only knew one line of Spanish, so habla español. And then poquito. Well, that was enough to get the book distribution started. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
A few years ago, when Gopal Krishna Maharaj came here, he urged us. He said, "You need to get a bigger temple." When I asked him, I said, "What we should do?" He said, "Get the bigger temple." At that time, we hadn't found it yet, so it's by his mercy that we found this place. And now he's come and he said, "Pay off the mortgage." So now I'm very confident that. And once a year, His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj comes here and inspires us about book distribution. And it has a special potency because he does it. He took that instruction from Prabhupada into his heart. And he's inspired devotees all over the world to distribute more books than anyone ever in the history of the world. And your coming here and casting your glance once a year keeps us going. We'll look forward day by day to coming back.
Vaisheshika's humility is really embarrassing me.
honestly speaking from my heart, Marge. Just seeing you inspires us. Thank you for your lifetime of dedication.
When
to
is
the
your
Lotus
book and book distribution coming out?
November.
He travels all over the world to inspire book distribution. Anyway.
So one more time, we'd like to thank His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj. Hare Krishna.